If you're visiting with us, we've been looking at a series about the Father, the Father's love, and looking at the parable of the father with two sons, or you may know it as the parable of the prodigal son. And we've been working our way through this because there's just so much that we need to not only know, but live in the good of the Father's love. We're very good at knowledge. We're very good at notes. We're very good at reading books. We're very good at surfing the net and finding nuggets. I'll speak for myself, and you can agree with me or disagree for yourself. I'm not so good at living it. Because it's when the rubber hits the road, and when I'm out there walking the Bure Valley Railway or arriving at school where I go to teach, or whether I show up to school or to the shop that we go into, or when we meet family, it's then that the reality of the truths of the Father's love has to be real. And I hope this morning that what I feel God's placed on my heart is something that becomes real, something that becomes tangible, something that you find this week actually makes a difference. Otherwise, and some of you would probably wish this, I might as well shut up and go home now. Oh, Gene isn't here this morning. For those who are visiting, I have a lovely nemesis called Gene. She will heckle me in the middle of a service. She will get up and leave when she's saying quietly and interrupt and say goodbye, and I love her to bits because she keeps me on my toes. Where have we been? Well, a couple weeks ago, Peter shared so wonderfully with us about our Father being a forgiving Father. And then last week, we had our Together in North Norfolk, where we just had a banquet. Sorry?
2 weeks ago
already, was it?
You preached last week.
Where does time go? 2 weeks ago, we had Together in North Norfolk. We had a banquet. And Penny and I spent better part of 2.5-3 hours working through just the prophetic words and things that come through that. And now we've got the great joy as a leadership team and as a church and as three churches together working out how do we put into practice all that God has said to us. And then last week, Peter powerfully preached on our Father being a forgiving Father. And just to remind you of four aspects of the Father's forgiveness, he said it was instant. There should be a huge amen about that. You know, I work with little kids, and they hold grudges. And even though they say sorry on the outside, they're not on the inside. And they've done virtually nothing compared to what I've done to the Father. And yet, his forgiveness is instant. If we confess our sins, he is what? He is faithful and just to gradually and eventually forgive me. And that's the way we often live. Under condemnation, even after repentance. But the Bible is very clear. There is no condemnation. And we need to start to live in the fullness of that instant forgiveness. There's a complete forgiveness. He doesn't just forgive the little things that are easy to get over. He forgives everything. And there's nothing I can do, to quote a song, not the Bible, there's nothing I can do to make him love me more, and there's nothing I can do to make him love me less. It's sacrificial, his forgiveness. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. And it's restorative. And that's where I want to pick up this week. Restorative forgiveness. The next bit in the prodigal son story, have we got our slide coming up? Is the father is accepting. He is accepting of you and of me. When did he accept you? At the point of your salvation? At the point where you gave your life to him? Before the beginning of time, the Bible says, and if we're going to believe the Bible, it says, before the foundations of this world were set, he chose me. When did he accept me? Before anything was even created, he had accepted me. Wow. If I was God, I think there'd be a lot of other more important people and things to think about than me. But the reason that you're here, Gordon, the reason that you prayed this morning, is because the God of this universe was thinking about you and said, I'm going to move heaven and earth and give everything for you. How much value do you now have? Infinite and eternal. Put your name where I put Gordon's. And let's begin to get excited about this great salvation. And realize we are forgiven. We are accepted. We are totally accepted. Not just kind of accepted. Not just a little bit of us have accepted. Not it might happen down the road. But it's already happened. And whatever we've done that seems to mean maybe I've moved myself out of being accepted, doesn't work that way. Because it's nothing about what you've done or didn't do. It's about what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will always do. Yeah. He has accepted us. I'll try that again. He has accepted us. Thank you. I'm going to be mean with you today, all right? I will not be happy. I'm usually a very happy teacher at school. My children actually like coming to school. Our attendance at school went from about 85% to it's now 98% attendance at our school. And that's because our kids love coming to school. They like being there. They get disappointed. We had one little girl who burst into tears the other day because she was sick at school, physically sick at school, and we said, you'll have to go home. And it wasn't because home wasn't a good place. It's because I don't want to go home. I want to be in school. I don't ever remember saying that. Even now. Let's get excited this morning. I said to Peter the other week, one part of his preach, two of you shouted out in the preach. And I thought, yes, Peter said. It threw him for a bit. You won't throw me this morning.
Yes.
Thank you. I will. The Father is accepting.
Amen.
In Luke 15, 22, 24, say it again.
Amen.
Thank you. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring, the family ring, on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. There was something to celebrate that was happening here. And I'll jump back a little bit. I'll probably jump ahead a little bit and we will get there eventually. But the whole context of this, let's have a feast and let's celebrate. There is something to be excited about. There's something to rejoice about. There's something to do the best and to get off of our chairs and stand on our chairs and shout and say hallelujah, because we have a Father who's got great things for us. He's forgiven us. Amen?
Amen?
Last week, Peter talked about putting on the robe. Do you know, if it was me, and I was going back to my father in the state I was in, smelly, dirty, virtually naked, smelling like pigs, thinking I'm going back maybe to be a slave, I would not expect the father to put on, and it says get the best robe. It doesn't just say go and get some rags and cover him up until he can have a bath and a shower and we can scrub him down and we can cut his hair and we can shave his face and we can do all of those sort of things. Go and get the best robe and put it on him. Why? Because it's not what he looks like or smells like or even what he's done. It's the fact he's my son. And he deserves the best. And everything's already been forgiven anyways. He doesn't have to come and kneel before me and grovel at my feet. I've already accepted him.
Amen.
Thank you. And he put the robe on. And already a statement was being made. I'm the Father. This is my Son. Father God looked down and said, this is my Son. I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased. He looks at you. You're my son. You're my daughter. Oh, I'm well pleased. Have the best robe. Not just some old rags. Have the best robe. He's not a slave. He's not a servant. He's even better than a bondservant, if you know that aspect. Put the best that we've got on him. What's the best robe we can put on? The robe of righteousness. And you're wearing it right now. If you know Jesus, that is yours. And you're wearing it right now. Whether you think you are or not, you cannot take it off. You cannot get rid of it. Because he looks and he sees the robe of righteousness on you. All the time, every time, regardless of what you've done. He looks and he says, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. End of story, beginning of story, and forever story. I love you. You've got the robe of righteousness. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't just say, you're good enough. Set you over there. Now I'll get on with the real ones. The more important ones. Bring the ring. Go get the ring. What was this about a ring? Well, you know that last bit of the verse? For this son. This son, notice, not this person, this son of mine was dead, and he's alive. He's alive. He was lost and is found. So they began to party. They began to party. They began to celebrate. They didn't wait for a few days. They didn't see, is this really true? Is he really back? Is this really him? Has he got it sorted out now? Enough now. They began to celebrate right then and there. But I want to look at this ring. I was looking through and I found this wonderful quote by a Scottish revivalist preacher, 1850 to 1910-ish, who, to be honest, I hadn't heard about before. Maybe you have. His name is Alexander McLaren. Anyone heard of Alexander McLaren before? Have you heard of him? Good. There's an eye. Can you do that? Can you top that eye? I thought you'd like this, Gordon. My grandmother was Scottish as well, so maybe they knew each other. I don't know. But this Alexander McLaren was a man who maybe one or two of us have heard of before, but he led the Baptist Union on two separate occasions. He was invited to a church to preach for 3 months, stayed for 15 years. They said they've never heard preaching like it before or after. He was then asked to go and lead a significant church of about 500. They had to tear the building down and rebuild it because they couldn't get the 1,500 that were coming every Sunday in to hear him preach. This is what he has to say about the prodigal lad. He says, this prodigal lad only wanted to be placed in the position of a slave. But his father said, put a ring on his finger. The ring is an emblem of wealth, position, honor. That is one signification of this gift to the penitent. Still further, it is an ornament to the hand on which it glistens. That is another. It is a sign of delegated authority and representative character. as when Joseph was exalted to be the second man in Egypt, the Pharaoh's signet ring was plucked off and placed upon his finger. All these thoughts are, as it seems to me, clustered in and fairly deducible from this one detail. I hope your Scottish is better than mine. But what was he saying? What's he saying? I wear a ring on this finger. I very seldom take it off. I was trying to think, and I was talking to some of the guys the other day, when do I take my ring off? When I have a shower or a bath, I take it off. When I wash my hands, I take it off. If I'm working with power tools, I sometimes take it off unless it catches on there. That's about it. It stays on my finger when I sleep. It stays with me wherever I go. This is a ring of covenant. There was a point in time where this ring just sat in a shop, a very cheap shop. When we got married, we had about 2 pennies to rub together, and one of those probably wasn't real. And we went into a shop. We bought 2 rings, Chris and I, many years ago now. Bought it from a shop that went out of business because the owner of the shop publicly says, I don't know why anybody buys the rubbish and tap that we sell in my shops. But this is my ring. This is not rubbish and tat. If I took it to your shop, you'd probably look at it and go, it's worth a few pounds. I don't know what it'd be worth. Maybe 50 pounds for the gold. I don't know. Probably not even that. My wife bought one as well. A bit smaller. And I feel strange taking it off. I've just taken it off. I feel strange taking off. And whether it was a prophetic picture that God wanted to, because I started thinking about this about a week ago, a picture that this morning I got up, and this is no joke, I didn't make it up, I didn't do it on purpose, and I couldn't find my ring. I got out of bed and I went, where's my ring? And I thought, oh no, I need it. I need it for the illustration this at church. And I thought, well actually this illustrates it perfectly. I felt incomplete without this ring of covenant. Because this identifies something. It identifies a huge part of my character and who I am. I am married to my wife in a covenant relationship. And through the putting on of that ring, I said, I will love, honor, and cherish. I will forsake all others. And this will do till death does us part. Simple ring. I went and I looked in the drawer and I picked out this ring and I said, I'll have to wear this one. This one cost about the same amount of money. It actually sits in a box on the top of my dresser 99% of the time. I don't even think about it. When it's not on, I don't think about it. I put it on now. It feels strange. It feels odd. I even, this morning, without my wedding ring on, popped this one on and thought, that will do. It feels strange. It's slightly looser. The edges are a bit different. It's uncomfortable. It is the wrong ring. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not the right ring. And right now, it's not on. My hand feels funny. There's something missing because I haven't got that ring. I put it on and it's almost like it's part of me. Hopefully some of you can identify with that. Go on, if you can. If you're married, slip your wedding band off. Okay. Never, never. Yep. If you feel comfortable. Does it feel strange? You can't get it off. Good. But do you know what? It just feels strange, it not being there. You pop it back on, it feels right. What was it about this ring? What difference did it make about this ring? Our great preacher goes on, he says, not only is the ring the sign of dignity, but the sign of delegated authority and divine representative character. And we're going to look a little bit at those. This ring for me is so important. A few months back, well, actually, some of you wouldn't realize that actually in my life I have bought 2 female wedding bands. And I've been involved in 2 weddings. I have not been married before, but I got married in a congregational church in Essex, and then we went back to Canada a few weeks later, and we had a repeat service for my family. So 2 weddings, 1 wife. A few months ago, Chris, very unfortunate, and quite sadly, and it really was slightly traumatic even, she caught her ring on the door handle, and it just completely broke into pieces. That shows the quality of it. Quality woman, rubbish ring. It's the years. Thank you. It's the years. Yes, I know I'm old enough to go to Sizewell. Okay, I seem to always leave it too late every year for some reason to book in. And I'm at school, yeah. We went and we bought another ring and slipped it on Chris's finger. And it was like, it's right again. It's right again. But what were the bits about this ring? Well, first of all, the ring is a sign of dignity. It's a sign of the new covenant. It's a sign of who I belong to. It's the family ring. It wasn't just any ring. It would have been the family ring that was put back on. We don't know where the son lost his ring. We don't know why he didn't have that ring on. It may well have been because it was such a traumatic thing that he did when he left that actually one of the parting things that he may well have done was taken the family ring off, gave it back to the father, and said, that's the end of my relationship with you. Because if you look at the history of it, and I preached on this a few weeks back, that when he left, it wasn't just he took the money and ran. He cut himself off completely. He was written out of the will. It was like he never existed. And he went, and that covenant was broken. It was not there. He had given the ring back. And as far as he was concerned, that was it. That's why he was coming back as a slave, not as a son. He had given what was his away. It was a sinful act as far as they were concerned. The covenant was broken. He didn't have his ring. We don't know. Maybe he went away with the ring, and in his desperation, he sold it. You know, it might have been the last thing he had. Maybe there was something. I doubt if he wore it, because when I look at that, what does it remind me of? It reminds me of my covenant relationship with my wife. Maybe he sold it. But when he came back, there's no question in the father's eyes whatsoever. Get the ring. He's now got his robe on. Already, he's elevated above the slaves. And it's interesting, it says he told the slaves to go and get, so that they knew he wasn't coming back as a slave. You go get the robe, slaves. You put it on my son. You go get the family ring. You put it on him. Because there's a covenant relationship that's being established. And I'm the one who's establishing. The son didn't reach in his pocket and take his ring out and slip it back on. The son didn't go and buy a ring and put it on. The son didn't come and say, here's my offering to you. Is that enough to earn the ring? He said, my son, instant forgiveness. Instant and total forgiveness. Complete forgiveness. Restorative forgiveness. The ring. The family ring. You belong to me, the father said. You are wearing the father's ring. because it's a ring of dignity. Hold your head up high. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. And we all watch those movies where the prince or the princess gets lost in oblivion, or they go out and they put their hoods up and everything. And then at some point in the movie, the hood will come off and everybody will bow down around them. Take the hoods off. We're a child of the King. The ring is a sign of delegated authority. It wasn't just a wedding band like this. It doesn't really say anything to anyone else, but to me and Chris and those that are around. It does shout something out. You don't believe it? How many of you watched a movie where the man is going along in the car usually, pulls over, takes his ring up and drops it in the ashtray? You know he's up to no good. It makes a huge statement. It makes a huge statement. But here, it's a sign of delegated authority. Knowing who we are in Christ. How do I know? Because I've got the ring of authority. How did the Son know? He had the authority of the Father to speak with His Father's authority, to live as if He's a son of that Father, to do what the Father has promised, to be able to enjoy all the wonders and the wealth that the Father has for Him, all of the dignity that there is, because when the ring, He had the ring, He could say, look, you don't trust me? You've heard that I've come back? You're not quite sure? Look here, mate. I have the Father's ring. I have the Father's ring. You want to attack me? Go ahead. Guess who's going to be right behind me? You want to say nasty things to me? Guess who you're going to deal with? You want to do something that's going to tear me down? Guess who's on my side? There it is. Look. The authority of the ring. Declaring and living that daily must become an essential part of who we are in Christ. His authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, said Jesus. Go. How often do we go forgetting we've got the ring? How often do we go heads down? How often do we go not taking that place of authority that we have in Christ? Not taking the victory. Not standing. Not opening the gate and letting the King of Heaven come in. Not running under the banner of God said it, I'll believe it, let's see it happen. Bring it on! Bring it on! And it's when we have that in our heart, then the ring of authority begins to take effect for us. Adam Volk, who was with us 2 weekends ago at 10, made this comment that we need to learn to lean in. We need to learn to lean in the battle. It's not a overwhelm. It's I'm going to lean in. And you know, if you're a fighter, you don't fight like this. You don't fight like this. You fight like, what are you seeing? What do you see? What do you see? You see, there's the authority. There it is. I've got the family ring. I am accepted. I am armed. And I'm ready. Come on. Bring it on. We'll see who's going to win this. We're going to see who's going to triumph. We're going to see which people of this earth are going to know the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's His army, it's you, and it's me, because I've got the authority. I will pray, I will believe, I will see as I begin to stand in that authority, as I begin to lean in. I'm choosing to believe. As Mike Batt said, if God didn't mean it, He wouldn't say things. It's up for us to begin to believe and to put into practice what He has said. There's a song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No hands behind my back. No turning and running away. No, hey mate, I've got the authority of Christ. And I'm going to stand in it. I'm going to live in it. What a difference that is going to make in my life and for us as a church. The ring, the sign of the divine representative character. It's even hard to say. Divine representative character. Romans 13:14. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already got the robe of righteousness on the Son and on us. And we clothe ourselves. We adorn ourselves with things that speak of the wonders of heaven. We begin to speak with the things of the wonders of heaven.
Amen.
Thank you. The wonders of who we are in Christ, the glories of the things of heaven. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance a race marked out for us. How? Full of the glory of God. Let it be an adornment of Christ. Let it be the wonders of heaven. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, catch that, dearly loved, Father, dearly loved, Son, accepted, forgiven, dignity, place, authority, and now His character, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and with patience. And then, let's just think about the fruit of the Spirit. What kind of fruit tree would have its fruit growing inside it? Oh, there's a nice apple tree. I'll chop it down to get the apples out of the middle. Oh, look at that lovely pear tree there. I think I'll drill a hole in it and get a pear out. We laugh and it sounds silly. But how much do we live that way? When the reality is, Holy Spirit, will you come and adorn me? Will you decorate me with Christ? That when someone comes and they upset me, instead of getting anger and frustration and I'll get even with you response, they find instant forgiveness. Forgive as the Father has forgiven you. Ooh. Instant, complete, wonderfully and amazingly forgiven. Generous. You come and you take my coat or my shirt. Well, guess what? Have my coat as well. You cursed me? What am I going to give back? Blessing. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who revile against you. That's not fruit that's hidden away that isn't seen. That's fruit that when you touch it, it falls off. And it's abundant. And it is abundant. This divine representative of the character. I've got the ring. I've got the ring. You can see it. It makes a difference. That's who I am. That's who we are as a people of God. The ring, the sign of determined remembrance. This is mine. Okay? This is a Canadian with a Scottish and German and French history. I'm a real mix. And I live in Britain. We're going to break bread together. But I want you to break bread with the ring on. I want you to remember something. Because you see, this doesn't just tell you and remind you that I'm married. This reminds me. This reminds me of the covenant I've entered into with the most wonderful woman that God could have ever provided for me, and she'll be shooting me later for embarrassing her. But she is. This reminds me that I said that I will forsake all others. This reminds me that in sickness and in health, and we've been there, we've walked that road. Now, I have memories of phone calls saying, you better come, because we don't know if she will. Look at the ring of righteousness, the ring of authority, the ring of sonship that you wear. I remember he paid a price. I remember I'm a son, totally accepted. I'm armed. I'm not disarmed. I'm approved. I'm not disproved. What was the third one? I'm appointed. I'm not a disappointment. Look at the robe of righteousness. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember that. And if I'm ever tempted, nope, covenant. If I'm ever have one of those days, and we have them, where she's annoyed me, probably because I annoyed her first. Nope, love her. Miss her. Don't really want to be away. I don't want the sun to set on any wrath or anger. This is far more important. This is even more. That sign of determined remembrance. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 26, and maybe Penny, you could come, bring the band. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this to remember me.'" Do it to remember me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is a cup, is a new covenant. It's a covenant that we've entered into. I wear the ring. It's been put on my finger by the Father. It's a covenant ring. It's my blood. And do this. Whenever you drink it, do it to remember me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, proclaim it. And proclaim is my death until I come again." Do you know, this ring was till death do us part. This ring is for eternity. It's for an eternity. And so Paul says to die is gain. Why? Because this has 30, 40, 50, 60 years, if I last that long. This, 10,000 years, and then forevermore. You took the words out of my mouth, and thank you. Forevermore. We're going to break bread. I want you to break bread, maybe like you've never before. We sang that song, sing. I'm going to sing like I've never sung before. I'm not sure we did.
Let's do it.
Amen. I want you to come, and I want you to take bread and wine. I want you to get into groups of three or four or five or six. I don't care how big your group is. And I want you to remember. I want you to remember that Jesus did it all for you. And he accepted you, and he prepared the ring for you before the foundations of this world were set. He moved heaven and hell to save you, to give you that ring, to call you a son or a daughter in the kingdom, to endow his authority to you, to call you to be part of a glorious family, to have a party and to celebrate and to have a feast.
Amen.
Thank you. And I want you to gather together, and I want you, we're going to kind of halfway between holding it all till we've all got it, but wait in your group until you've all got some bread, and then celebrate together the death and the resurrection of Jesus that means my son, my daughter, has come home. Go on. Put on the garments of praise. Put on the ring of authority. Jumping ahead. Put the sandals on his feet. This is no slave, and there's a purpose and a journey and a work to be done. My son was dead. Now he's alive. We were dead in our sins. And now we're alive because of what Christ has done for us. If you feel uncomfortable in sharing in this way, that's absolutely fine. I'm talking to our family here. If you want to join in, please, please do so. We're going to worship, take the bread together, celebrate. Let some whoops out. Let some roar of heaven come out. Let's get excited about what God has done for us. Then take the cup, hold it together, and then begin to thank Him for that blood that was shed for you and for me and has given me a life eternal and has dealt with every sin. That forgiveness Peter so helped us with last week. It's done, it's done, it's done. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship. Let's break bread. Let's enjoy. If you want prayer about anything, come. And we'll get some to pray for you. Maybe you need healing this morning. Maybe you need to be set free. Maybe some of those disses, you're having a hard time getting rid of the diss. Well, let's cut the diss off and step into that. Maybe you haven't got that ring on. You've never given your life to Jesus. You've never surrendered your heart to Jesus. It's as simple as that. Because He's done all the work. Come and have a chat with us. Let's worship together.